it's really validating to hear similar stories to your own and have a safe space to share yours.
Welcome to the Phase 4 podcast, inspired by Vishen Lakhiani and Ajit Nawalkar, co-founders of EverCoach, a division of Vine Valley. In this podcast, we speak to coaches and creatives about where they were, where they are, and where they are going. This is the intersection of what we focus on expands, and your story is your superpower. My guest today is Comfort Woods. She is a personal empowerment coach, and today she's going to share lots of her knowledge and wisdom with us. And Comfort, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me here. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. I always kind of begin with just maybe tell us a little bit more about yourself and how you ended up in this space.
Yeah, absolutely. So my story begins, years ago, like maybe almost 10 years ago now. Like I said, I'm a personal empowerment coach, and it starts with me struggling through my own empowerment journey. So I used to be the girl who apologized for everything, including apologizing too much. I wanted to be the laid back person, the low maintenance person. I wanted to not rock the boat or cause anybody any distress. You know, I just really wanted to fit in and avoid conflict. And that was how I conducted myself in my life. And things took a turn years ago where I found myself living in a world that wasn't of my own manifesting. It was, I hadn't chosen the people that I was spending my time with. I didn't choose where I was living. I didn't choose what I was doing for a living. I was just kind of, you know, getting by, working whatever menial jobs and just kind of hanging out with so people that I didn't really vibe with or resonate with. And my marriage, it was a new marriage, was it was not great. It was really not great. My codependency tendencies combined with his alcoholism were just a very rough combination. So what happened was everything came to a head when I had one particularly traumatic experience that left me within my relationship, that left me in an absolute puddle on my mother's couch. I ran to her place and was just completely just broken for weeks. And at one point, you know, she sat down with me and she said, "Hey, you know, I remember when you used to be just this little ball of sunshine when you were little and you were so bright and didn't worry about what other people thought and you weren't afraid to put yourself out there. Like, what the heck happened?" You know? And those words kind of stuck with me. And so a few days later, I got up and, you know, went to the mirror to wash the tears away. And I looked in the mirror and for the first time, I saw that child that she was talking about way back. And I saw her for the first time, that kid that had been relentlessly bullied by the other kids in the neighborhood and then, you know, just struggled to turn it around and do what she could to make things better, to change herself in whatever way to try to fit in and not get teased anymore. The kid who was one of what turned into 8 siblings eventually and just grew up around a lot of chaos from a very large family and so took it upon herself to be the easy child, the one who didn't need anything. That girl was always fantasizing about who she would be when she grew up, when she had more choice in the matter, when she wasn't at the mercy of the people raising her and the people taking care of her anymore. And I remember she made a promise to herself and said, "One day I will be strong." And I saw myself in that mirror and I was not feeling strong at all. And it just kind of hit me that this is it. I am that adult. Like, there's no more waiting anymore. Like, what am I doing with my life? And I saw that kid looking back at me in the mirror and basically just said, "Help me. I don't feel safe here." Wow. And that was just kind of the catalyst. And I realized that no one was going to take care of that kid except me. It had to be me. And it had to be now. And normally I'd had so much empathy for everyone else to the point where I would lose myself. You know, that codependent tendency that, you know, anyone who identifies as an empath can relate to this one. And I ended up being able to turn that empathy inward for the first time. And what happened was I ended up moving 1,000 miles away. I separated from my husband at the time and got a new job, went back to school, reconnected with people in my life that I'd been neglecting. And through a very long and difficult process, I ended up essentially transforming my life and my marriage. And lo and behold, he actually responded to my change when I was finally willing to step up and say, no more of this. This is not what I want. And something's got to give. And it was really long and difficult. I read tons of books. I did therapy. And now today, fast forward, I have a master's in education. I have a coaching business. I am out there trying to help other women who've been in that situation who are ready to step up and say, it's my turn. All right. So that's kind of how I got here. And my marriage is thriving now. You know, it's a partnership that's based on mutual love and respect. And a lot of that came from me finally learning to set boundaries and essentially teach the people around me how to treat me right. Yeah. Because no one else was going to do it.
That's awesome. That's what I was thinking the whole time. I was like, boundaries. So people pleasing, empath, almost like a fixed mindset where you're just following the path laid out for you, not realizing that you have a choice, wishing you were bigger to go and do it, but not sure how to do it.
Exactly. And there are so many women like me out there who are just following the path of least resistance and feel this sense of guilt or shame around taking up space and having needs of their own because they were conditioned to believe these things, that they need to put others first. And, you know, caring for others is important, but if you don't care for yourself properly and teach other people how to care for you too, no one else is going to, because people can't read your mind. It's up to you to create that life that works for you, that you want and need. And that's what I'm doing here, is I'm helping women figure that out and set goals and plans and find, you know, those pieces of their lives that could use a little bit more strength and boundaries and confidence.
Yeah, I love it. I think the idea of no one's coming to save you, it's really harsh and rough, but it's so true. And like, I heard people saying this to me almost, and it never went through. Then finally, when it did go through, I was like, oh my God, no one's coming to save me. I better save myself. And then like, if you can get through that, like it's hard to tell someone who's going through it with compassion and empathy that no one's coming to save you, but you can save yourself. But that sounds like exactly what you did. And like, look how powerful you are now. I can hear it in your voice.
Thank you. And not to say that I didn't have any help. It just took getting to that rock bottom moment to finally open my eyes and be like, you know what? It's time to start. And like I said, I had my friends to rely on, and I had therapy, and I read books. There are resources out there. But specifically what I do is I offered that one-on-one guidance, you know, because I've been there. I understand how it feels, and I've made a lot of the mistakes along the way. And if I'd had somebody who had been through it, who really understood and could just help me go through each scenario and each interaction and each piece of it, and say, you know what? Yeah, this is what's happening. This is what I'm hearing. You know, where do you see yourself, and what do you want to do? And let me help you suss out what your options are, and just all of that stuff, just to provide clarity and guidance and support. It probably wouldn't have taken me so long. And so that's what I want to provide.
Yeah. I think it's awesome, right? Because you've been there, because you've gone through it, you know exactly what someone, it's not just sympathy. It's not, I read it in the book, which you read the book, but you actually went through it. So it makes a huge difference. So you said one-on-one. And so is this part of where you have your My Inner Child method? Is that what we're talking about?
Yes. So what I offer is a high ticket one-on-one week program. So it's me and the client personally talking to each other and just focusing on that person, that client, right? So if you're my client, I am focused on you. I am listening to your stories, your unique situation, and I am helping you, you know, figure out what your next move is and help you analyze what's already happened and you know, just find some clarity and have the confidence to move forward. So it's 8 weeks. It's one-on-one. It's high ticket. I am kind of, I'm considering, and we'll see what happens, but just, you know, making little tweaks and improvements to my program. So I'm thinking about doing a beta testing session. So if anybody would be interested in that, I will offer a very large discount and group coaching sessions in exchange for feedback and a testimonial. So so for the people who maybe can't afford a high ticket one-on-one coach right now, we could help each other out. You could help me, you know, tweak my program and get some feedback and a testimonial, and I can help you figure out your life and your situation. And if it's group coaching, then you can, you know, hear the stories of other people like yourself and gain some insights from them and get more people to hear your story. And it could be a really beneficial situation. I just finished a group session with other coaches this morning where I presented about money mindset and how to the messages we receive in childhood. And it was really inspiring to hear all those stories. So I would highly recommend it if you're interested in something a little lower price and a little more group oriented. And I would love the feedback.
Yeah, I love it. There's something powerful about group coaching where you start sharing. And once the first person is vulnerable in a group, it's like permission where other people can do it. And this is the breakthroughs that you see. I think a big part of this is like, we're going through our story, and it's usually in our head, and we're just going through our life, and we're like, nobody cares and nobody else even knows. But then you get into that group and it's like, oh my God, other people are going through the exact same thing.
Exactly. Yeah, it's really validating to hear similar stories to your own and have a safe space to share yours. It's incredible.
Yeah. So definitely, yeah, reach out to Comfort. That's a great deal, right? Like, you get coached and then all you do is give a testimonial, a lower price than the high ticket, which everyone else is paying for the same service. So good for you. That's a really good one. I think I would like to maybe turn to things like maybe boundaries, self-talk, reframing, this kind of stuff. You said boundaries. And I think one part of boundaries we hear is like just saying no, but it's not always saying no, right? Sometimes we have to say yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And specifically, one of the things that comes up a lot is people confuse a boundary with a request. And I've seen that play out in a lot of situations where someone will say something like, well, if you don't do what I ask, then you're violating my boundary. And that's not how boundaries work. You know, you make a request of somebody, that's about their behavior. And they are autonomous and they have a right to say yes or no. The boundary part is what are you going to do about it, depending on what they do, right? So, for example, a request could be like, hey, could you not raise your voice when we're having these intense discussions? You know, they can either do it or not do it, but a boundary is, hey, if you raise your voice, I will disengage and leave the room and we can reconvene after we both calm down. You know, so it's more about yourself. And what I see a lot of people do with boundaries is it's not that other people are necessarily violating their boundaries. They'll push them, you know, because that's what people do. It's not necessarily a conscious thing, but it happens. But what I see people do is they will violate their own boundaries. You know, they say, if you do this, then I will do that. And then they do this and you don't do that and you don't follow through. And then that just leads to, you know, feelings of frustration and resentment and failure. And so understanding more about what a boundary is, when it's appropriate to use it, and confronting limiting beliefs around setting boundaries, which is a big one that that I like to tackle.
Yeah, anyone with kids can definitely relate to what you're saying, right? I see the adults, some of the adults are like, I'm going to count to five. And then they just 3, 2, 1. And the kid's still standing there. And it's like, now what are you going to do?
Right, exactly. And honestly, relating to adults is a lot like relating to children. Essentially, you have to teach them how to treat you. And that's something I learned in my teaching programs, actually, is, you know, a lot about classroom management. And when a child acts up in class or, you know, is being disruptive, you know, having that lens of like, no, that child is not out to get me. That child is not necessarily a bad person, but they just don't know how to behave. And it's your job to teach them how to behave. And so that's a big part of what boundaries are. It's like, okay, I can see that you're starting to raise your voice and that's not acceptable. You know, one thing you should learn about me is I don't tolerate that. Right. So it comes from a place of kindness, honestly, kindness towards yourself, kindness towards the other person, giving someone the benefit of the doubt that maybe they just don't know how to treat you, or maybe they're acting out because they haven't had enough to eat or they haven't had enough sleep or any number of things. Their own inner child is crying out. And if you address that with, you know, kindness and firm boundaries, then sooner or later they come around and they figure out how to treat you. I did it myself in my own marriage where I had to say, like, if you raise your voice, I'm going to leave. And gradually what happened was he raised his voice less and less, caught himself earlier and earlier, and now he doesn't raise his voice at all. Now we have, you know, productive adult discussions. And it's worth mentioning, he quit drinking. That was one of my boundaries was, hey, I cannot be married to someone who is drinking this much and behaving this way, because it just wasn't working for him and for us. And it's like, okay, you can either keep doing this or not. That is up to you. I wish you well. But if that's where you're going to go with it, then this is where I have to leave you, because I can't have this in my life anymore. And that was probably the most difficult boundary I ever set. So yeah, having boundaries and enforcing them, holding those boundaries with yourself, is extremely difficult if you're not used to it.
You were saying lenses. We have a pond outside, and I told this a while ago, but my son picked this up off the ground one day, and he was like, he was 6, maybe 5. It was really small, right? And he picked this up. It just was like stuck in the dirt. And he goes, hey, Dad, if you change the way you're looking through it, it changes. And I was like, whoa, like just like filters the way we see the world. Yeah, it was just like that. I was like, wow. Like for a little kid to say it, like if you move it, it changes what's on the other side. It's like a filter. But and then the final button up on boundaries, there's a book by Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend called Boundaries. Really good book. It has a lot of religious overtones. If you can get past those religious overtones, it's a really valuable resource. And if you're religious, then it is even better. I think authentic confidence. Can we talk about authentic confidence?
Yes, authentic confidence, which is something that a lot of people struggle with. So one of the things that I used to really struggle with, and I've talked to a lot of people about this, and one of the last clients I worked with actually struggled with this a lot, was that she had this idea that if she loved herself and believed in herself, that that would come across as arrogant, right? So she would put everybody's needs before her. So like, here's everybody else's worth, right? In this world, the space that they're taking up in this world. And people get this idea that if they're not here, then that means they're here. So up here is I'm better than everybody else. That is arrogance, right? But down here is I'm worse than everybody else, less deserving, less valid. And it's not helping anybody. It's certainly not helping you. And that is what poor self-esteem is. And a lot of times what people will do is they'll try to overcompensate and overinflate by pretending that they're better than everybody else. So a lot of people who come across as really arrogant are actually really insecure. So that authentic confidence is putting yourself right in line with everybody else that says, yeah, maybe I'm not more important than others, but I'm not less important either. You know, I'm just as important. And with that view of it, with that level of confidence, you are able to have the same grace and forgiveness for your own mistakes and your own shortcomings that you have for others. And on the flip side, you're not threatened by the accomplishments of others because they don't affect you, right? And it can be a source of inspiration. And so that authentic confidence is when you approach the world and say, you know what? I've got my strengths and weaknesses. You've got your strengths and weaknesses. We can learn from each other. And if you're, you know, not in a place to be treating me the way that my standards dictate I should be treated, then, you know, much love to you, but I'm going to distance myself from that, not take it in, not take it personally. So that's true authentic confidence. It is humble, right? But it's also taking up your rightful space in the world. That's one of the things I like to teach.
When you're saying how, like, people thinking better and then, or worse, like, that's ego as well, right? Not just thinking you're greater than everyone, but also like, oh, not me. I'm like, that's ego coming in as well.
Yeah. I mean, your ego is just a part of your psyche along with your id and your superego, right? That's just part of who you are. It's a matter of finding the right place for that, you know, finding your place in the world. Yeah. I mean, maybe it was something about being the middle child of 8 siblings, but it's like, okay, it's not all about you. But you're not worthless either, you know? Right. You're one of many, and you're together in this, and there's something just actually really beautiful about that. You're not alone.
Yeah. As you talk about the id and the greats of psychology, it's making me think of, like, Jung and just integrating the shadow and accepting. Like, it sounds acceptance. That's the piece that we need, that if there's, whether you think you're better or you think you're worse, both of them require acceptance.
Exactly. And that's a big part of what my inner child method is about. It's about, you know, when that voice is in your head and it's saying all of these fears and all of this self-critique and criticism and all these emotions that we wish we just didn't have, right? And all of our mistakes and stuff. Essentially, my rule is, if you wouldn't say it to a child, don't say it to yourself. Because chances are, if you have that voice in your head with all these limiting beliefs and all that second guessing yourself, it's coming from one of two places. One, it's coming from someone who ingrained these messages into you. In my case, I've had a lot of people's voices that I've had to just clear out of there. you know, because even if you're
That's
not
a lot more space.
Someone, yeah. Even if you're not physically with someone who has put you down or mistreated you, that doesn't necessarily mean that their voice is out of your head. So that's one thing. The other is, the voice might be coming from your own inner child who is trying to protect themselves from rejection, protect themselves from, you know, being ostracized or being put down or being silenced or whatever. But a lot of these coping mechanisms that we have that may not be serving us did serve us at some point early on. And so the idea is, you know, to be able to turn to that voice and turn to those emotions and hold space for that child that maybe didn't have that space before, or at least, you know, has you now. You get to be the person for that child that she didn't have, you know? So whenever I face a difficult decision or I'm feeling down about a mistake or a failure or a shortcoming, I imagine that's her talking to me. And so what would you say to a child who's feeling all of those things? You know, you wouldn't put them down and say, how dare you? You know, you would take them by the hand and say, you know what? I understand you're scared and we all make mistakes and it's okay. And I got you, right? And it's a two-part thing, because on the one hand, your inner child is watching. On the one hand, you are watching your inner child, you know, you're shining a light on that and you're seeing her struggle and, you know, have fears and doubts and whatever else, and you're coming to her with grace and kindness and protection. On the other hand, she's watching you. And the more you show up for her, the more she will feel safe with you. and the quieter her protest will become, the more she'll trust you, and the more in line with yourself you will become. And that makes it so much easier to move forward and embrace new challenges and adopt new habits.
Love it. So if somebody, this is resonating for sure, right? So if this is resonating with you and you're kind of like, where do I start? What do I even do? The inner child thing specifically. Do you have an exercise that somebody can just do right now to play with their inner child?
For sure. So basically you'd start with just plain old visualization, right? So you close your eyes and you imagine a version of yourself from the past who is innocent, who is bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and, you know, maybe doesn't have the greatest self-esteem or whatever, but just has so much light, you know? That version of yourself who maybe fantasized about what you would be like when you grew up. And then you get specific. What is that person wearing? You know, what face do they have? What are their hopes and dreams and struggles? And what's going on in their life at that point in time, right? For me, I have a couple different versions. I've got the early child version who, who was picked on a lot and kind of pushed around and did what she could to reset. In her life, she has sticks in her hair from running around in the woods. You know, she wears dirty dresses and rubber boots. And then I have another version of me who is maybe, I don't know, 14, 15, struggling in school, struggling to fit in, feeling down and kind of worthless, and just hoping that someday someone will love her. And that, you know, depending on the situation I'm in, I have either of those versions of me trying to speak up and voice her concerns.
Thank you. First of all, thank you for being vulnerable. I think that second part about being 14, 15, I think that's, like, I remember when I was a kid, exactly what you're saying, trying to fit in. And I don't think it's like back then. I think it's always there. If anything, maybe even more now. So that definitely going to resonate with people. As we begin to wind down, if this episode resonates with you, please like, subscribe, share. No hard sell, though. And reach out to Comfort. We're going to put all our links in there. I always ask everybody this. This is the Phase 4 podcast. And Phase 4 in the 6-phase meditation by Vishen Lakhiani is all about creating your future 3 years from today. So where is Comfort 3 years from today?
3 years from today. Right now, my dream is to be making, you know, multiple 6 figures a year with this coaching thing. But in 3 years from now, I want to be thinking ahead. I want to be thinking, I want to make multiple 7 figures. I want to have tons of people that I've helped, change their lives. I'd love to be speaking more on stage, maybe even working on giving my first TED Talk. That's been on my bucket list forever. really moving forward and taking on new challenges and just changing lives and helping people change their own lives.
Beautiful. So you said you're doing one-on-one, you want to make it into group more. Is there any other things you're doing, like any events, live events, anything like this coming up, or?
Nothing on the horizon just yet, but I am kind of mulling around the idea of doing a live webinar at some point. So stay tuned for that. It's in the early stages right now.
Okay. Can we talk about being assertive? I saw that on your speaker sheet and I love it.
Yeah. So being assertive starts with mindset. It starts with saying, you know, it's having that framework of, I'm going to teach you how to treat me. Right. And then there's certain techniques to it. For example, a lot of people will undermine themselves by over explaining because they have that voice in their head that's already giving them that opposition. And so before the other person has said anything, they'll often engage in dialogue with that inner voice and start undermining themselves, and inviting the other person to do the same. And then their entire message gets muddled. So, like, little techniques like that, of how to stand strong, state your case with confidence once, and then just let your words land. So, little things like that. The power of the pause, exactly. So, yeah, the one-on-one thing really helps with that, because I can role play with people and hear exactly what their scenario is, and they can do some visualizations with the people in their lives that they need to be assertive with, or, you know, the spheres of their existence that need more assertion. A lot of it comes down to mindset, but there are also definitely techniques. And then back to boundaries real quick. You were talking about psychology, and I actually wrote a blog post on my website about the psychology of setting and enforcing boundaries a little bit, specifically behaviorism. So B.F. Skinner did these experiments where there was these rats in a cage, and they had a button that they would press, and if they pressed the button, they would get food. And then they started messing around with different, like, schedules of rewards. So sometimes they'd push the button and they wouldn't get anything, and sometimes they'd push it and they would. And what they discovered was that if you are giving a reward inconsistently and there's no schedule and it's random and people don't know when it's going to happen, then they're going to try again and again and again. So the rats in the cage that had an intermittent schedule where sometimes they would get a treat for pushing a button and sometimes they wouldn't, but they had no idea when it was going to happen, they pushed that button all the time. You don't know when that jackpot is coming, so you just keep putting coins in the slot machine. When it comes to boundaries, if you sometimes give in, but sometimes you don't, and the person you're trying to reteach how to treat you has no idea when you're going to give in and give them what they want, guess what's going to happen? They're going to push and push and push and push way more than they would have if you had just followed through consistently right from the start. So there's a lot of little tips and tricks like that to make your life a lot easier when setting boundaries and being assertive. It really helps to have someone to talk to who's been through it and can tell you, no, you're not crazy. You know, your experience is valid, and, you know, this is worth putting your foot down about and standing your ground. And just having someone to reflect back to you what's really happening, because yeah, that learned helplessness can really take hold and you end up second guessing your entire reality until you break free of it. Yeah. And I've been there, and it's not easy. And that's why my heart goes out to people who have been through that and, you know, could just use someone to talk to.
100%. And so there's a very nuanced thing about learned helplessness where it's a lie, but you don't see it as a lie because you're going to find evidence that, yeah, no matter what I try, it doesn't work.
Yeah. What you were saying about, oh gosh, it had me thinking about the fleas in the jar experiment where you take the lid off the jar and the fleas still don't jump any higher out of it. I don't know if your listeners are familiar with the experiment, but yeah, confirmation bias. You're talking about finding confirmation of whatever you believe. So that's where mindset can really, really play out in your life. If you have a positive view of yourself and your surroundings, you're going to find confirmation of that. But if you have a negative view of yourself, not only are you going to find confirmation of that in, you know, your own shortcomings and mistakes, but you're going to attract people into your life who will confirm those beliefs about you and treat you in kind. And so it really starts right here within.
100%. We see this in politics, right? Like, people won't sit down and have the argument. Well, why are you on that side and so against this side? Instead, it's just like, let's find people on my side and we can all argue each other.
Yeah, exactly. The echo chambers and the confirmation bias does not just play out in politics. It plays out in your own sense of self-worth.
Right.
It really does.
And, like, you said it, we both said, but it's like, to me, it's so crazy that even an event, right, that you have the bias towards an event, not yourself and how you feel, but but just in an event, the exact same event, you can view it that way or you can view it that way. And it's the same event, but depending on how you see it inside, it's just like, to me, that's fascinating. That's why I love psychology. And
yeah. Have you ever read The Power of Habit?
Yeah. Dewey? Charles Dewey. Power of Habit.
Yeah. It's so good. And it really gets down into like these subconscious tendencies that we have that just repeat and reinforce themselves over and over again until you are able to step back and see what's actually happening and catch yourself in that habit cycle and then stop it where it's at. So yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Interrupt the pattern. Mm-hmm. Final quote from me. What's his name? Viktor Frankl. It says, between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space, we have the power to choose our response. In our response lies our freedom and our growth. And it's just like you're saying, right? There's that little tiny gap. And if you can interrupt it and get in the gap and break the spiral.
Exactly. And yeah, so in my experience and with the people I've worked with, the catching it is really fascinating, because sometimes you'll have an episode of something coming up and you might feel like really elevated or triggered or whatever, and you might react in ways that, you know, are not in line with your values. And then after the fact, you'll analyze it and overthink it and be like, man, I should have done this and that and the other thing. But with consistent work and effort and some help, you know, you catch yourself sooner and sooner. You might catch yourself days later, and then you might catch yourself hours later, and then you might catch yourself right after, and then you might catch yourself in the middle of it, and then you might catch yourself before it even starts. And that's how progress is made. It's made slowly with incremental steps. So if you find yourself screwing up, you know, don't be so hard on yourself. Again, if you wouldn't say it to a child, don't say it to yourself, because that child is in there and she's listening.
Amazing. And so before I ask my final question, I kind of let the guests take it wherever they want. If you have something to sell, sell it. Something that you do for fun, maybe you want to share with us, or a message of hope, anywhere you want to go, take it wherever you want.
Message of hope. I like that. Essentially, if you're in a place where you are feeling lost and struggling and don't quite know what to do, you know, you might find that your ways of coping with that are more of rest and distraction. You know, if you are, you know, I have a tendency to scroll on my phone sometimes when I don't want to deal with what I'm dealing with. And it really helps to sit down and take some time to sit with yourself and just listen and imagine that whatever comes up is your own inner child. That visualization really, really helps. And you can turn all of that strong empathy that you have towards others, especially if you're an empath or have codependent tendencies, turn it inward to that person and really listen to them and understand that they are just trying to protect themselves. They're scared and they need you to take them by the hand and say, it's okay, I got you.
My final question is, how can people reach you?
So my website is comfortwoods.coach. Please come check it out. I have a blog with tons of articles, and you can book a call with me. A perfectly free transformation session where I will listen to you and we'll talk. And if it makes sense to work together, fantastic. If not, you know, I want to make sure that you at least walk away with some valuable insights and maybe even some resources. I do know some other coaches, so let's talk. And if you're interested in that beta testing idea, let me know. And if I get enough people interested, I could get a group together. So absolutely, please call me. I also am on Facebook and Instagram at Comfort Coaching. So please like and follow and hit me up. I love talking to people.
Amazing. Comfort, thank you for your time today. I'm so grateful.
Yeah, thank you so much. This has been really fun.